This episode is brought to you by Set for Life Insurance. Listen, docs, one of the first steps we took to pay off our student loan debt was realizing we paid way too much for our disability insurance. That all changed when we found Set for Life Insurance. They helped us with a customized insurance policy that met our needs and, most of all, budget. To learn more, check out setforlifeinsurance.com.
We did a YouTube short on Hasan Minhaj's apology, basically just saying like MDs are like Coca-Cola and DOs are like RC Cola. And it caused this huge storm of DOs just being angry. I've seen that a lot where people will elevate someone else's opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, but this person has absolutely no expertise in this genre. But
it's like, dude, you don't know what you're talking about, but yet you got an opinion and then some idiot takes it as fact.
Like really famous podcasters who talk about COVID vaccines. Ooh,
right, like, exactly.
What the hell are you listening to these people?
Right, like, why are you listening to this person?
All right, y'all, what's good? This is Dr. Nee, host of Docs Outside the Box. I'm joined by
Dr. Renee A.
You know, if you're going to do that, you might as well have like a Christmas.
Ooh, like, Alfred, hook it up.
You know, a Christmas thing.
Hook it up.
Or something like that, make it work. So Renee's actually faking. She's really not in a good mood. We're recording this with the kids asleep. It's 10:40 at night.
How am I not in a good mood?
You weren't in a good mood before we were about to record this.
Well, because our five-year-old would not go to sleep.
Well, that happens, you know.
But I know.
Anyway, we're supposed to be recording this during the daytime. We're recording this for the nighttime, and we are doing this for y'all. Listen, this episode is about the top YouTube shorts for 2022. You know, this is part of our bigger strategy of trying to expand past the audio experience. And for those who are listening through the audio experience, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. But we're trying to expand more, right? We're trying to be grown and sexy. We're trying to expand.
What is this? Freaking 2012?
Yeah, man. Between the sheets, yo. This is between the sheets hour. You know what I'm saying? Right? BET Uncut,
grown
right?
Grown and sexy.
But we're trying to expand our reach and trying to get more of the video experience and trying to get onto YouTube, right? So a lot of times we will put our YouTube shorts on IG and make it as IG Reels, or we'll put it on TikTok, or we'll put it on LinkedIn also.
Yeah.
But we thought that the best way to really kind of round off the year is to talk about the most popular YouTube shorts, what resonated with people. I was actually shocked by a lot of these because I just didn't expect us to get, first of all, this many views on specific topics for YouTube or for anything, any of the topics that we talked about. So on this episode, we're going to go through numbers 6 through 10. And then the next episode after that, we're going to go through 1 through 5.
Backwards, though.
Yeah, we're going to do it backwards because we know y'all.
That's right. Drum roll. So you have to like anticipate
we gotta
what number one is going to be.
We don't want y'all dropping off at the end and stuff. We know y'all.
All right, guys. Top 10 YouTube shorts starts now.
Alfred, can you put some graphics on that for us, please? Thank you. Thank you very much. So listen, let's go backwards. Let's go all the way to episode 311. This is actually number 10, right? So episode 311, we did an episode called, or it was in relation to our investment strategy, right? And let's go ahead and play that. So our strategy, we buy the entire market. There are these index funds where you are investing in an entire market, and there's like literally thousands of stocks that are in this fund. And you are saying, okay, I'm going to bet on the entire US market. One company does bad, it gets removed from that index, and then they put another company in there. And these index funds, they're weighted towards having good and well-performing companies, but also at the same time, they're balanced with some other companies that are at the bottom.
The zombie apocalypse would have to hit in order for you to lose all of your money in the entire U.S. market.
The funds that we invest in are VTI, SCHB, FZROX. I just buy and I hold. And when the market goes down, I buy more.
Market's on sale.
That's how I look at it. Boom. There it is. And we're back. So you want to go first? Thoughts on that episode?
Well,
or on that short?
Well, I mean, I do think the zombie apocalypse would have to hit in order for somebody to lose all of their money in the stock market. And I think that was the whole point, right? Is that
there's some times where we kind of come close, yo. January 6th, I was.
You were a little freaked out.
I was freaked out, yeah.
Well, January 6th, 2022 was definitely a.
No, January 6th, 2020, right?
2021. Was definitely a that was a different day, but yeah, I think you know you the whole point of this short is that you have to have an investment strategy. We just happen to be sharing ours.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just to encourage our audience, like you guys, listen, whatever investment strategy you have, you know, stick with it. Learn about, you know, what the pitfalls are, what the benefits are, and just invest. I think that's the most important thing that, you know, I learned anyway from doing that particular episode.
Yeah, and that episode kind of clarified, like, why am I such a big fan of VTI? Why am I such a big fan of VTSAX? And guys, we'll put that in the show notes, what exactly those are.
Yeah, Carla, hook it up.
But those are... Those are index funds, right? And I like that because I don't have to think much about it. I just invest in these funds and or invest in that fund. And I know that there's a whole bunch of different companies, the Apples, the Microsoft, the Netflixes, the Googles, all of those different things, all of the work that needs to be done in terms of, you know, specifically choosing which company, that's all done for me. And I, you know me already. If I have too many options, I ain't gonna make an option whatsoever.
Right.
Or I'm not gonna make a decision
the
whatsoever.
Choice, yeah.
So for me, it has been extremely freeing to kind of take this concept of index fund investing and buy and hold with that. So, you know, for me, you know, I think it was really cool that we shared our investment strategy.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that to take off on YouTube, but that was pretty cool. The other thing, too, is that, you know, one thing that we didn't mention is that crypto is going down, right? So a lot of people who are like crypto evangelists, you see how quiet they are right now, right? There's a lot of crypto evangelists who are mad quiet right now. I love the way how Bomani Jones, he has, you know, one of my favorite podcasters out there, he calls it funny money, right? Like, if there's so much, like, manipulation, if there's so much, like... what's the word I gotta say? Like people, the ability for people to get, you know, defrauded. Mm-hmm. And obviously people get defrauded in the stock market all the time.
Of course.
But like for something that's so new and so many people talking about all of these different ways in which they're getting their money stolen, i.e. Sam Berkman with FTX and so forth, you know, something ain't right. And they got to figure out what they're going to do quick.
Yeah.
But for me, it's all
crypto
about...
Crypto got some explaining to do.
It's really all about... There's so much noise going on.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, like the tried and true method is just... I think is the buy and hold method. And just, you know, when you hear all this noise, you just kind of just stick to doing your thing, right?
Yep.
Like just sipping my tea. Everybody's over here on the other side talking about what's the greatest and newest thing. I ain't trying to hear all that. Let me just do what I know is going to work. Now, we may take some esoteric other things going on and we'll describe that in a later episode. But, you know, if anybody asks us, we just tell them, hey, listen, that's what we do. And I think people want to know where to invest, but they don't know how to, particularly with all the noise that's going on social media. And I think that that's just a quick and easy
Episode
way to get them.
311.
Go check it out, guys.
Yeah.
Let's jump to number nine. I wish Alfred or Christian, both of them, yeah, like make it so that like there's like something that indicates like the next thing and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Man.
But hook it up. So, nine is episode 294. This episode, I let you cook most of it.
I cooked most of it.
Hey, y'all, Renee was cooking. So this was talking about, you know, Roe v. Wade, the decisions that was made to actually strike that down from a Supreme Court standpoint. But we basically went into the statistics, the studies that show the medical ramifications as well as the economic and socioeconomic ramifications of denying abortion to folks. And people went in on this one.
Yeah.
But you cooked on this episode.
I did.
As a woman, as an OB, you know, obviously I have an opinion on it, but I think that those two perspectives, you come in way more educated on than this than I think 99% of the population, including people in the Supreme Court, right? So I'm going to read a YouTube comment. This is a comment from someone, and this
you
is just...
You want to play the short first?
Oh, yes, a good point. Let's play the short. Good point.
This short is called Banning Abortion Makes It Worse for Women. You said something that really perked me up, and that is that they're making it worse. And the question is, worse for whom? It seems to be worse for us because we believe that women should not have to take these financial hits, these social hits. But for other people, they think this is fine. You know, if you have a pregnancy that's unplanned or unwanted, that's what you get. It's your punishment. But again, it's not that every single pregnancy that is to be terminated is unplanned or unwanted. You know, IVF has has an increased risk of ectopic pregnancy. If you are doing IVF, you absolutely want this pregnancy. Yeah. Now you get an ectopic. What do you want that woman to do? You want her to keep this pregnancy and suffer all of these potential consequences? Like, it doesn't even make sense.
Oh, Renee.
Got a Renee, lot of comments on that one.
Renee was cooking. So listen, yeah. Let's read the first comment. All right, let's just read the one comment and then we'll kind of take it from there. So someone wrote, so is she using an example of life of their mother? Question mark. Which state is not going to allow termination in that example? So obviously they're talking about if you did IVF or just in general, if a woman got pregnant and she developed an ectopic pregnancy, which we all know. Or if you don't know, an ectopic pregnancy is a emergency.
Yeah, it's not viable.
Is that technically a surgical emergency or
not,
is that like an OB emergency?
Not necessarily surgical. It's not always surgical, but it definitely...
Because I do surgery.
Okay, well, very good. but it is technically not viable. It's not a pregnancy that you think of that's going to go to delivery. Because it does put the mother's life in danger at a very early stage of the pregnancy, such that neither the mother nor the baby will survive. So, yeah.
Yo, you got a lot of angry comments on this.
Oh, I did. People were pissed. I did. Yeah. So, you know, the question of, well, which state is not going to allow this? What happens is when I look at these comments are talking about common sense. Right? Like, what state is not going to allow you to, you know, basically terminate a pregnancy if it's going to kill the mother? And I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter what common sense is. What matters is what does state policy, what does state law read? That's what matters, right? So something could be extremely common sense, but the law isn't written that way. And that's what happens is that people are not educated on the law.
Y'all do not want a confused doctor and a confused patient and things getting like, I know what I medically could do.
Right.
Is this legally going to fall back on me? You do not want a doctor like kind of trigger happy or not trigger happy, but just kind of like having a, to me, that's just a really scary situation.
You don't want a doctor to have to think about a life and death decision in a legal way. Like, to me, it's like, if it's a matter of life and death, then the answer is the medical, you know, the right medical thing to do. If I have to add on to that a legal issue, like a legal thought process, and especially one that isn't clear, and I don't know whether or not this is going to be, you know, my career-ending case, then that's a problem. And so, you know, I got one comment that basically said, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about. You know, I wasn't qualified to talk about this. And I'm like, but
oh, yeah, I saw that.
I'm an OB and I did a health policy fellowship that was specifically focused in reproductive health. I think I know what I'm saying. I think I do. So again, right, people just kind of, you know, putting their keyboard courage out there and thinking about this thing like common sense.
Well, the other thing too is that we were really clear that when we did the episode, we didn't do an episode that was saying for or against anything. We were just stating the facts as to when you did a longitudinal long-term study on people who would get an abortion and if they fit in whatever socioeconomic status they are, this is the long-term effects in terms of their schooling, in terms of what kind of work they can do, in terms of the economic effects. And then from there, you're free to make decisions about what you feel about the policy and go from there. And, you know, obviously, you know, people are commenting on a 60-second video. I really wish people would go to the long form video and kind of get the nuance there. But, you know, that's kind of our fault, right? Because I'm not saying in a bad way, but, you know, we put out a 60-second video. What do you expect?
Well, I mean, but we're not the only place that people are getting, you know, information specifically about this, too. Right. So we are one source. Where people are getting information.
We want to be the source, guys.
Where people are getting information.
But I mean, if you're not going to get, I mean, who else? I mean, outside of an OB, I mean, the next person you would want to get it from realistically is probably what? PhDs or like.
No, it's going to be the media.
No. The next place that you would want to get this information from.
Well, I mean, I understand where
the media
you're coming
the media is going to make it the media. Right. They're going to make it microwave, kind of what we did, but like they're
right.
They're make
I mean,
it
but that
for
I
you,
mean so. That, but that's the point, right? Is that I get that, but no one is going to take that much time to really learn about, you know, what is, you know, what is actually law, what is actually being put out there, right? They're not going to read. Like for me, I read the entirety of the Texas law. I read the entirety of the Idaho law, right? And when you read those, you're like, oh, okay. Like this is not very clear on ectopic pregnancies. Not, you know, this is not clear on ectopic pregnancies being excluded from abortion. It's like it literally is not clear. It doesn't say the word ectopic at all. It just says the word pregnancy. And when it says that and it says something like, you know, heartbeat and all those things, I'm like, ectopic pregnancies can have heartbeats. But if you don't use the word ectopic in the law, then you might get something like, what was it? The Ohio senator said, why don't you just, you know, cut that pregnancy out and replant it into the uterus? And I'm like, well, you know what? In his imagination, that makes sense, but that is literally physically and physiologically impossible. You cannot take a 6-week pregnancy, cut it out of a fallopian tube.
That came out of your, that possible.
Yeah, because it was that bad.
There was some spit that came out of
it. Yeah, it was that bad.
Watch the microphone.
Yeah, it was that bad. But that is physically,
I told you, y'all, she was cooking.
Impossible to take a 6-week pregnancy from a fallopian tube and reimplant it into a uterus. Where are they doing that at? In his head. Because to him, that's common sense. But it's not. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, the abortion issue is always one that I'm just like, I don't even know why we have like lay discussion about it, you know, to this extent, because it always ends in, oh my God, you don't even know what you're talking about. So,
well, let's do a 180 degree.
Ready to go to number 8.
Let's move to something that's completely different from this. But yeah, like I said to y'all, she was cooking on that. Right? So let's jump to episode 296. That was the stock market tumbling. That was with Kevin Matthews, who's blown up since he's done that episode because he got a couple of his shorts. He does YouTube shorts and IG reels, and those kind of blown up with other social media influencers and so forth. But I really enjoyed his episode.
Yeah.
This one was the stock market tumbling. Basically, he was explaining, like, are we in a recession or not? Let's go ahead and play that. I'm a little nervous because this is worse than Brexit, I'm assuming, right? This is worse than COVID.
Actually, no, not yet.
You see how the news makes people nervous?
When the stock market fell in 2020, I think it was as low as 38%. As of today, we're at 20%. We still got a ways to go.
That's why you're here, is so that you could break it down for us. Should we be nervous? News has a tendency to make things sound worse than they are. It sounds like we're kind of in a mix, right?
The market falls like this every 7 or so years. Like every investment in life has gone through a period in time like this. I have a 4-year-old son. He's been through a period like this twice. That's how common this is. But the thing is, everybody says like, oh, I wish I would have bought Amazon back in 97. It's like, yeah, you also would have went through the .com bust too. Hey, if it falls, it falls. But I'm in it for a long time.
This is where I think a lot of people, their moxie shows up. Are you still going to be investing? I think that's where we find out who's really in this.
We say scared money don't make no money. We're going to find out.
Yeah, that was a really good episode.
Yeah, I enjoyed that episode.
Yeah, he's really fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that episode. Lots of good analogies and things like that, because you guys started talking about like NBA and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a perspective that obviously he has general competency in this, but his ability to explain things and make it easy to understand for the average, the lay person.
Yes.
And obviously even for us as medical professionals who don't have any experience or not much experience in the financial world, you know, it just makes things very palatable or digestible, right?
Palatable.
So I understood it really well because at the time we recorded this, remember that was like the stock market was going down. And also at the same time, you know, there was talks about, are we in a recession, which, you know, technically at the time we were, right? But nobody wanted to say we were.
Right. The government was like, I don't know what you're talking about. What you talking about, Willis?
Right. You know, it's just like, we kind of know what's going on. But since then, the market has recovered. You know, we're still producing jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we're in a weird time. Like, we're like these last, like, since 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy the amount of growth that has occurred in this country. The lack of a real, like, quote unquote recession since that major, the Great Recession in 2008. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, you know? So, I don't know. I think that, you know, one of the big takeaways that I can tell anybody into this is go back to, you know, number 10, which is our investment strategy.
Right.
Just continue to invest in a strategic way. Have a strategy in which you're going to invest. Make sure you are educating yourself and understand that, listen, you know, if you're going to be following and listening, I think someone, I didn't put it on this, but I think someone did an article on like how like social media influencers are like losing people like millions, if not billions of dollars.
Mm.
And stuff because like they're just causing so much noise that people are literally taking their advice and that advice is bad and stuff,
right,
you know? And
right.
Like I remember like several months ago, people were saying, yeah, put money into Facebook, right? Because Facebook is going to be coming out with Meta.
Right.
Facebook is eventually going to be coming out with like this different way of doing things. And as we're starting to see, like the whole Meta universe or Metaverse is a flop.
Yeah.
It's a big flop, right?
And the Does it even exist?
It exists, but it's just like I remember like Snoop Dogg had like, you know, he was doing concerts on the Metaverse and all these different people. Like you are like, it's... I can imagine, you know, like the level of ADHD that someone would have if they've never had any experience like this, if they're a busy professional and, you know, they spend a significant time on TikTok or what have you, like the amount of, you know, FOMO that you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just found that I didn't think that actual short was going to take off like that.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you talk about the stock market tumbling, I think people always kind of perk up a little bit because they're, you know, I think their first reaction is, yeah, I know. Like the stock market, it's always going to crumble. It's always going to tumble. You know, I think that's the kind of thing that people kind of like, you know, they want that confirmation,
right?
That that's going to happen. And so it's very hard for people to understand the principle of ebbing and flowing, you know, with the stock market. They always think about the loss, but it's very hard for them to understand that that loss can, you know, can turn into gains again.
Yeah. Like if you look at a large graph of how the market has done from like the 20s up until now, like it is steadily rising.
Right.
Right. It's not a straight like path of just going straight up. There are dips and then there's, you know, it goes up and then there's dips and then it goes up and it just keeps rising and rising over time and stuff. And, you know, just like I remember when Brexit came, people were freaking out. You know?
I made a really bad decision.
I got to figure out what episode that was, but we talked about how like I took money out of the stock market because of Brexit. And it was like the biggest mistake that I ever made because I just was investing without a strategy and I was investing based off of what I heard from other people as opposed to my own knowledge and stuff. So,
yeah. And, you know, just that fear. People are so fearful of losing that they will literally lose out on future opportunities because, you know, there's some sort of a risk, you know, to get to that opportunity. So they're like, no, I don't even want to take the risk of losing, even if I know that in the long run, I'll most likely win, but I'm so scared of losing, I don't want to take that risk. And that's kind of what the market is.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, for people. Yeah.
So let's jump into some comedy, because I actually thought this was funny the entire time. So this next one is number 7. This is was episode 259. We did a YouTube short on Hasan Minhaj's apology, D.O. apology, where he basically compared M.D. World to D.O. World, and he was expressing it in a fashion where he was seeing a D.O. urologist.
Yes.
And I think it was his friend.
Yes.
And I guess he was just saying, well, you know, what is this D.O. thing? And basically just saying, like, M.D.s are like Coca-Cola and D.O.s are like R.C. Cola. And yeah. it causes huge storm of D.O.s just being angry, which is pretty funny. Like, you get a bunch of D.O.s angry on social media. They do not play around, you know. So I thought it was funny, actually.
That's our people.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny. But let's play episode 259, Hasan Minhaj's D.O. apology, and we'll go from there. Hasan Minhaj, he was joking around. He was shocked to find out there were two different types of doctors, MDs and DOs. He likened MDs to Coca-Cola and DOs to RC Cola. Yo, he got flamed on Twitter, right? Dude, like, you don't know what you're talking about. How can you say this? DOs are not like Coca-Cola. We're like Smart Water and all this other stuff. And his response basically is, listen, I did the research. I understand that there's a difference between DOs and MDs, but why are you focusing on the MCAT so much? He basically is apologizing in his comedic way.
Well, let's put that into context, right? Because he specifically said in his apology, if you're a DO, you didn't do as well on the MCAT. That was part of his quote unquote research that he did. He's actually saying this to an audience. So I suspect that the MCAT comment is also going to come back at him because, you know, people are going to be like, what do you mean? You know, I got into both MD and DO schools and I chose to go to a DO school.
Damn, you see how old that graphics was?
Oh, sheesh. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Alfred, you go a long way, baby.
Question. Do you think that some people show their insecurity with the profession by going so hard on social media?
I think that there is some of that. You know, I do think that there is that insecurity because the stigma between, you know, the stigma of being a DO still exists, right? And so it's so funny because yesterday our realtor,
I think it still exists.
Our realtor called me. He said, you know, I got a question for you. My doctor is leaving and the health system just sent me a list of other doctors that I could see. He's looking for a new primary care doc and he goes, there's this doc, his name is whatever, and he's a DO. Like, is that okay? Do they do the same things that MDs do? And I was like, Robert, I'm a DO, needs a DO. And he's like, really? He goes, well, so much for calling somebody who doesn't have any bias.
But is he, I mean, it's funny, but also at the same time, like, if you had never grew up hearing about a DO, and then all of a sudden you see these letters at the end of someone else's name,
you're not going to know.
Is it the patient's fault or is it
the professional's fault for not,
it's just we got to do a better job. I look at it like we got to just do a better job of alerting or letting the public know that there are two types of practicing physicians right now in the United States. Their abbreviations at the end of their name are different.
Yep.
Don't be alarmed. This is what they do.
Right.
And kind of explain the differences, maybe explain a little bit of the similarities and explain how that's going to affect your care.
Absolutely.
But I think we got to do that. Our profession has to do a better job of that, point blank.
Yeah. I mean, the onus, I've said this about the medical profession in a lot of different contexts. But the onus is on the medical profession in general, whether it be MD or DO, to achieve the goals that it is looking to do. Oftentimes with medical education in particular, when we're talking about, you know, teaching people about what osteopathic medicine is or, you know, recruiting for diversity, you know, those kinds of things, oftentimes the onus is actually put on colleges. And I'm like, you know, the colleges' goals don't necessarily align with the goals of the medical education institutions.
Wait, say that again?
So in other words, right, teaching students about osteopathic medicine is really not like top 10 on the list of things to do for a pre-med advisor. Like, right. It's not. Like, the pre-med advisor just wants to know what is the percentage of people that I have here who could make it to medical school. And essentially, I'm going to take, you know, the pre-meds that I know can make it to medical school, and I'm going to shuffle them, you know, in that direction. anybody else potentially who I feel, I don't really know if you got the chops to do this, I might actually steer them in another direction so that by the time they're actually graduating, they're technically not pre-med anymore, which actually inflates the number of people getting into medical school, right? Or at least inflates the percentage of people getting into medical school. So those values, those goals are not aligned with what the medical education system is trying to accomplish. So I don't think that it is the job of pre-med advisors to teach pre-med students about osteopathic medicine. I don't think that that's their job. Should they do it? Yeah, I think they should. But I think the onus is on, you know, AOA, ACOM, you know, basically those professions have to figure out a way to do that. And it's the same thing for diversity, you know, at MD schools, DO schools alike. The onus is on you. You want those students. You want diverse students. That's your business. That's your job. That is not the job of a pre-med advisor to be looking for the most diverse students to send you to school, because that is not their goal.
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I've always think about is the elevating of lay people's opinions into fact. I think that that's what I find so striking is, you know, and I think part of it is because everybody has a voice, including us. You know, we have a voice here. We're on YouTube. We're on Talking On This Podcast. And, you know, but it's a comedian. Like, those. In the whole scheme of things, bro, he's a comedian. Like, he don't know nothing about no damn medicine. Excuse me. Like, I guess I'm code switching. But he doesn't know anything about. He doesn't know anything about this, right? Like, why are we tripping so much? And I get that he has a huge platform. He has a lot of people listening, and he's saying it in a joking manner. But there's probably people who are listening who may or may not make a medical decision based off of what he has to say. But it's just like, I don't know. I've seen that a lot where people will elevate someone else's opinion. And it's like, but this person has absolutely no expertise in this genre, in this specialty, in this arena, whatever type of
it's
thing
like,
that you
dude, you don't know what you're talking about, but yet you got an opinion, and then some idiot takes it as fact, and you're just like, really?
Like, really famous podcasters who talk about COVID vaccines. Ooh.
Right. Like, exactly.
What the hell are you listening to these people?
Right. Like, why are you listening to this person? Like, he literally just woke up one day and just had an opinion based on no knowledge whatsoever. Mm. But whatever.
So let's jump to number six, guys. Number six is media training. This is actually a more recent episode. This is with Jessica Abo. This was episode 323. And the name of this is, does media training take a long time?
Yeah.
Let's jump right into this.
How long does media training take?
Depends on how much experience you have. The most popular package that I have is a 5-hour package. So we start with a media intake. It's kind of like therapy meets media, because a lot of people tend to really think about the things that led them to where they are and maybe contribute to their imposter syndrome or stage fright. And then we start to break down what are the talking points, and we start to practice those and meet a journalist, get all the nerves out, and know when they do really get called by a member of the working press that they've already done this before and they can do it.
Yeah, that was a good episode, I thought. I think a lot of doctors now really want media training, you know, especially since 2020, right? Because COVID
come on, it's been way before that.
Well, yes, but there wasn't a big storm like there was in 2020 where, you know, just everybody, like, you couldn't go anywhere and not be affected by COVID. And so there was this big storm of COVID, but then there was also this huge influx of people, doctors included, just talking about COVID on social media. And so, you know, I don't think we've ever seen anything like that before. And so, you know, having a media trainer is actually really important. We see that, especially with COVID. We even saw that with, you know, with Obamacare, right? Because the messaging matters, right? The messaging actually matters. And so if you have doctors who, you know, who are called upon by the media.
Yeah, I think a lot of doctors have no clue how short and how short they're supposed to be able to what's the word I want to use? How short
of a time they have to deliver a message.
Right.
Right. And to deliver that message so that lay people can understand.
Right.
And that I think was a major problem, you know, with when they rolled out Obamacare, because people were like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was like, I think y'all are talking way too technical. You know, they were talking about the marketplace and the versus this. And it was just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And I think also people like, don't sleep on the folks who are on TV. Like these doctors who are on TV as medical consultants, they do the work.
Mm-hmm.
They learn how to take really, you know, complex topics, complex situations, and yeah. they know how to make it in a point where the audience is going to absorb it as well as be entertained by it,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
do it in a short period of time, because as you just had, you know, quickly, you know, you were on Good Morning America, and
yes.
we'll put the
and
links to Good Morning America on
by
there.
The way, it was not on the 29th like they originally said, yeah. in true TV showbiz fashion. Everything got switched around at the last yeah. minute. They said it was going to be on December 29th, and it actually ended up being on December 19th, which...
It didn't actually air.
It didn't actually air at the time that they said. It actually aired 5 hours later. And get this, my uncle in North Carolina calls my parents and says, hey, Nene is about to be on TV. My parents go and watch it live. But I never get to see it live. So I ended up getting the link.
That's weird. So they put Good Morning America 3
yes, at 6 p.m. Yes.
That's weird.
It was weird.
Well, tell them why you got bumped again.
So I got bumped because of January 6th. Yeah. I got bumped because the hearings. I didn't even watch the whole thing because I was like, this is... Anyway, but yeah, I got bumped because of the January 6th hearings. I guess they were concluding
yeah.
Some things. And, you know, I kind of watched to see, like, is this going to be short breaking news or is this going to be long breaking news? And obviously it was long breaking news. And so the 1 p.m. hour pretty much got taken up by January 6th. But at 5 p.m., at 6 p.m., Eastern, it actually aired and my parents were able to see it live, which I got to tell you, honestly, that made my day that my parents got yeah. to be like, hey, my daughter's
on live TV.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. So I wasn't too bummed about not seeing it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was proud of you to see that. And just low key, everybody, we did have Jessica Abo on the show. We've actually been receiving media training from her, actually. Mm-hmm. And you actually consulted with her.
Yeah.
Before you went on
yeah,
Good Morning America.
Went, yeah, to GMA.
So,
yeah.
Dude, like, in terms of, just really quickly, because we're running low on time, mm-hmm. like, what kind of training did she get you ready for Good Morning
well,
America?
Well, this was, like, a really quick, fast, in a hurry kind of thing, because we haven't done, like, formal training. But it was basically, you know, think about the things that you want to say and just get to the point, right? Like, that's really important. Another thing is, when you're asked the question, just like they taught us in elementary school, right? You repeat kind of the question in the answer, right? So what is your favorite food? My favorite food is...
I still right? talk like that right now. Word up, so, bro.
So yeah, so, you know, doing things like that. If they ever ask you, do you have, you know, anything else that you'd like to add? Always have something else to add, you know, and maybe make it something that's kind of like a level up to what you've already said. So those were kind of the three takeaways that I took from our brief discussion, our impromptu media training session that she did. And I just thought when I got there, I was actually really ready. Jessica does a great job. She has a course out there. So if you guys are interested in media training, let me tell you, Jessica is amazing. And one of the things I noticed about her on that episode that you did with her,
mm-hmm.
Jessica, like, I don't think she said the word anything. Like, she's on point.
She's got the training.
Yeah, oh, my God.
She's on point.
She is on point. So if I could learn from her how to stop those ahs and so's, that would be great.
Okay, so let's move on to our last
number. That was it.
No, that was
number six.
No, that was number six.
That was number six. Oh, that's the end for today. Yeah.
That is the end of this episode, or at least that's the last one that we're going to cover. So listen,
for today.
So listen, this literally went really quickly. I thought it was going to go a little bit. My bad. I was like, oh, we got to get more in. But no, we are at number six. So check out the next episode to find out what is going to be 5 through 1. You're not going to want to miss that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But real quick, let's talk about, and I think towards the end of the year right now, we're talking about the stock market, you know, whether it's tumbling or if it's stabilizing right now, or we talk about our investment strategy. One of the biggest things right now as we're heading towards the end of the year is finishing off our investments that we're going to put for our own solo 401ks because we run our own business. We do locums and so forth. And one of the big advantages, I think, of working locums, of being an independent contractor, is the larger amount of money that you can put into your solo 401k as compared to a traditional 401k. And just so y'all know, we are partnering with Comp Health, and you can learn more about them at comphealth.com. But one of my first jobs that I did in 2012, 2013 was with Comp Health in Idaho. And then I remember working there for a good 4 to 5 months. But I remember at the end of the year, it was time for me to make some contributions into my retirement funds. I did not have a solo 401k. I did have a SEP IRA. For the most part, it's the same, but a little bit different. Yeah. But I do remember that I would have this huge tax burden, but it decreased dramatically because I was able to stash some money into my SEP IRA. Yeah. Which basically is almost like a solo 401k, but I think a lot more simpler than a solo 401k. So,
yeah, no, I mean, I think definitely doing locums, I think people are oftentimes intimidated by it because they don't quite know a lot of the nuances. And one of the nuances is, well, how do I save for retirement? Because if I'm employed, usually my employer takes care of that. And it's like, well, you could do that too, you know? And so having worked with Comp Health in the past myself, you know, learning, you know, how locums really works and, you know, realizing that you get this lump sum of money, but that it's your responsibility to take the taxes out, you know, invest what you need to invest, spend where you need to spend. I definitely think that over this year, we've talked about that a lot, and hopefully people have learned something from us. We are not CPAs, so don't come for me in these streets. Remember, I said I'm going to clap these hands. I'm not your CPA, so don't come for me. But if you learned anything at all, take it with you and take it to a professional that you can speak to. If you are interested in doing locums, specifically, like I said, we worked for Comp Health, so we can definitely vouch for them. You can go to comphealth.com, comphealth.com, and check them out. They always have assignments just ready to go for docs like you and me.
I'll tell you right now, if I didn't do locums, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast and also have the full-time career that I have as a surgeon. So it works for me, and I love locums. So, but listen, let's end this podcast, and we will catch you guys on the next episode. Remember, the next episode, we're going to do 5 through 1 or 1 through 5. Either way, you know what I'm talking about. We'll catch you on the next one, y'all.
Happy holidays.
Peace.